This is another episode of the Decoding Purpose podcast. My name is Rebecca Tapp, and in every episode of Decoding Purpose, we speak to humans of both influence and impact to explore how life's turning points help us to decode purpose and to ignite a more meaningful and purpose-driven life. Welcome to another episode of the Decoding Purpose podcast as we draw to the end of 2020. When we hear the word ethical used in a sentence, it definitely has a level of gravity. It is a word that conjures up feelings of righteousness, morality, integrity, and of course, purpose-driven action and responsibility. Simple to understand and even easier to throw into a sentence, but what does it mean? Is the idea of being ethical a word, an image, or is it something that can only ever be applied in action? I think over the coming years, as the purpose economy continues to grow in momentum, we will see so many more people using the word ethical. We already are hearing people talk about ethical sales, ethical marketing, ethical talent recruitment, or the creation of ethical products. But at the same time, I also think for the consumer, we're really going to have to do our homework on every single buying decision that we make. As the saying goes, action is always louder than words. However, in a digital world, it is often words or images that act as the clickbait, making our jobs as purveyors of the internet even more important for the conscious evolution of our planet. The small choices we make matter more than ever before, and it's on us to decide how ethical a brand really is. Luckily for you, I've done a little bit of that homework for you, because today I'm honoured to not only showcase a truly ethical brand, but one that is breaking the status quo in an industry that in the past would never, ever have been considered to be necessarily ethical. That industry is the world of modelling. Those guests are the co-founders of Role Models Management, and their names are Anne-Therese and Val Emmanuel. Anne-Therese and Val came together with one shared dream, and that was to start a modelling agency that would disrupt the way we think about and see the industry. Role Models are the agency that puts ethics, sustainability, environmental and social justice at the core of the business. The agency came to life from the desire to build a platform where models are given a voice to speak about things that they truly believe in. Anne-Therese and Val wanted to show the world that models can be incredible agents of change and really help shift pop culture in the direction needed for a better future. As models themselves, Anne-Therese and Val have lived through all of the ups and downs of an industry trading in on beauty. And through their belief in using the profile and influence that models have, they have taken an outdated system into a new purpose-driven paradigm that absolutely has the power to use beauty, both on the inside and the outside, to change the world. So without further delay, get ready to strut your stuff down the most conscious catwalk in town. Welcome to the Decoding Purpose podcast, Val Emmanuel and Anne-Therese from Role Model Management. I am so excited to have you both join me today.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here.
We've been looking forward to this call.
Amazing. Well, look, it's such a pleasure to have you here. And I'm going to kick off with a question that I actually ask all of my guests on the podcast, which I will address to both of you. As we were just chatting before the podcast, I think it's fair to say that with COVID-19, 2020 has been a turning point year all over the world, and especially in the States with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, and more recently the elections and some other things going on. And I want to start off with you. How has this year influenced your connection to your personal, professional, or planetary purpose?
Do you want to start, Val?
Wow, that's a good one. I'd say the key word for 2020 was definitely pivot. You know, before it was grow. I think every single year we were doubling And this has been a year where we basically plateaued. We're making the same as last year. And I was thinking, you know, we're going to make four times. Last year, I remember, and Teresa, at the beginning of the year, I set this huge goal. I was like, we're going to make like $20,000 a week. And she's like, that's insane. And then we were doing it. And then COVID-19 happened, and it was like, oh, you know what I mean? We got to completely change our business model to fit what people need now. So I think instead of grow, it was pivot. And that's hard for me because maybe as my business partner knows, I get very set on a goal and I don't stop until I reach it. And so having to change that and, you know, also going through personal stuff at the beginning of the year, like right before COVID hit, you know, nasty separation. And so, you know, going through personal growth and professional change at the same time was difficult. But if this year wouldn't have happened, I would not be where I am now, which is this whole new business model that me and Anne are working towards that I think will help our influencers to, you know, be able to show more of their personality and work with brands on a personal level.
Yeah, to add to that, I would say I love what you said about pivot. I think I want to kind of bring growth back into the picture because in terms of like a in a different, I guess, element, but growth for me has been sort of the leading word where I feel like everything that wasn't dealt with before has come to surface this year. And it's been so much just cleansing and going through stuff and like figuring things out. And in that is when you grow. So I feel like the thing that we have found this year with role models and also our personal lives and our connections as partners is community and like trying to figure out like how can we actually just find new ways of doing what we ultimately want to do the whole time in this new environment as we figure things out as we go. So yeah, it's been a weird year, but I feel like, you know, coming at it and ending 2020, we're going pretty strong still. Like Val said, we're not where we were expecting to be when we started this year, but we definitely haven't lost our momentum. And I feel like it's only grown. So it's pretty exciting.
It is. Look, it's really exciting. And I can't wait to share more about your business model as we traverse through the course of the podcast. Because, you know, in having done my research, I certainly think that if there was an ever a time where we need more role models and more social entrepreneurs such as yourselves out there and really showing the rest of us how it's done, well, then now is the time for that. And I want to kick in to the next question. And to kickstart the conversation today, you grew up in Sweden before moving to the USA, and alongside modeling, you studied in business marketing and brand communications. When you reflect back on your journey in becoming the role model and the social entrepreneur you are today, was there a moment in time or an experience where your purpose, to create social change became clear to you?
Yeah, I guess there were many times, but in particular, when I moved to New York to study my marketing master's degree, I was just appalled by the amount of waste, honestly. And I've always been sort of an eco warrior nerd. I call myself the recycling cup growing up. I was always the one who was like telling people how to recycle properly, and I would bike everywhere. And I thought I was just so conscious. And I moved to New York and I realized that my individual actions don't matter that much because it's a systemic thing that needs to change. And so I think it was just, I had this awakening in the midst of everything of like, wow, how can I really have an impact? So I went to school for marketing, thinking I could use the tools I'd learned in school to create a message that could drive change in the world. I never wanted to work for a typical marketing firm and sell stuff that I don't believe in. Like, I just knew I couldn't do that. So I always had this plan of creating something of my own. But it wasn't until I moved to New York where I really started to question, like, how can I have a big impact? And so that's where I started going down the modeling path, which is maybe not the most conventional way of doing things, but I'm really happy I had that faith and took the leap of faith because that's how I ultimately got connected with Val.
Yeah, and I mean, what's amazing about pairing modeling with social impact is your ability to really begin to fuse purpose with profile and to ignite positive influence from that space, which is so much of what you both are all about. Val, I know your background is also as a model and an actress, and today you're also a mum. Again, in reflecting on your journey, was there a defining moment where your purpose to use your influence to ignite social change became clear to you?
Yeah, I think it really, you know, like Anne, Therese, I also grew up super eco and sustainable, but it wasn't because of a love for the planet. I just have two immigrant parents who were like, save everything, don't waste water. And my mom also, she just likes to get caught on like any cause. So growing up, for example, we live next to the Biona wetlands in Marina Del Rey, and I live there again now. And we had this whole protest on not building these huge apartment buildings that are now there, but we protested and cost the company millions of dollars, right? A day, because there was a bunch of kids standing on the land and they couldn't build. But she just really taught me to stand up for what you believe in. And when I got out of modeling a little bit and I started managing my own personal clients, I think it was really interesting to me that I could find girls who, you know, use their brain, use their looks, and use their talent to start companies that were ethical, or to promote companies that were ethical, or to put a smile on someone's face and just do it in a different way. So once I started working in the industry, I saw that my talent was so different, and they would get personally requested all the time because they're like, wow, they're so reliable. You know, they show up, they're not doing drugs. Like, it was just, it was different from the typical model. So yeah, I thought I want to take this and do it on a bigger level. I was also scouting and working with other agencies, and I just thought, you know, the general tone of a modeling agency is kind of hectic. And I started modeling when I was 2, and I just thought my daughter needs to look up to girls who are, you know, like working in a different way. So when I started managing clients, I just wanted to make sure that I was having girls that my daughter could look up to.
Beautiful. And I mean, so important as a mum, you would have such a different perception of that. Now you're bringing a daughter into the world and raising a young woman.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important. I mean, the people who use social media more than ever, what, ages like 13 to 25, and they're just figuring out who they are. So if they're looking up to influencers and models and actors to figure out who they are, then they might as well be seeing something of substance, which they're not for the most part. I mean, there's so many more people speaking up today about, you know, voting, social injustice, ethical brands, whatever. But 10 years ago, there wasn't that. I just saw models with cigarettes in their mouths. Do you know what I mean? And thought that that was what it took to be cool.
So, Anne Therese, this is probably a good time for us to all learn a little bit more about role model management, with a focus on what an ethical modeling agency actually is. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Yes, please. So Val and I started Role Models Management with the idea that there should be an agency out there representing models who wanted to use our platform to do good. And so that doesn't mean that they have to be one way or the other. Like, Val and I happen to be vegan, and that's how we kind of connected and bonded. But we don't ask our models to be vegan. Like, whatever they care about, if that's social justice or gay rights, or they volunteer at schools because they want to help kids, like whatever it is that they're passionate about, it's up to them. But we do want to see that element. We do believe that today, especially with social media and how pop culture is sort of structured today, there's so much more transparency, and we're so much more connected to celebrities and models and actresses. There should be that element that Val just talked about, where, you know, who are we looking up to? Who are our kids looking up to? Like, who are their role models? What are they purveying on their social media? And what image are they putting forth into the world? And so we think that not only do models have an incredible opportunity to speak up about things, but it's almost like a responsibility to know that, you know, as an influencer today, you do inspire people, and that can be good and bad. And we feel like as an agency, you almost have a further responsibility to make sure that the models know that. So we want to educate our models. We do a lot of this year online events, but before that it was more in person. But we try to educate on things like the fashion supply chain. So what does sustainable fashion mean? How are things made? What does it mean to be healthy today? Like, we would never tell someone they have to lose weight to look a certain way. We encourage healthy lifestyles. We want models to take care of themselves, but you know, we need to erase this typical image of what a model should be, because it's not reality and it's not good for anyone. So if you're a young girl and you look up to someone and that model is not taking care of herself, like how, what kind of image is that, you know, spreading to the world? So yeah, the agency is about representing models and talent that are all about being healthy and purveying those healthy values to everyone else too.
So I have so many questions that dovetail off your answer here. Val, you just mentioned before, and so did Anne-Therese, some of the ways that you guys are both seeking to disrupt the way we think about and see the modelling industry, particularly with regards to the role model aspect of what a model should be and how that inspires young people and all those, you know, young people out there on social media and all those sorts of things. Can you tell me a little bit more about what else you felt needed disrupting within the industry at large?
Oh, so much. I think the power that talent agents have, you know, particularly in Hollywood and Los Angeles, is so immense. It's like if a talent agent decides that they don't like you or they don't want you to work, you know, the career you thought you would have is over. And I didn't want that. I wanted to, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to call my clients friends, but a lot of my clients were friends. So I was able to have a really, especially in the beginning, we were able to have so much more of an open dialogue than I'd ever had. And I had one agent at an agency who I felt like was really personable. And, you know, we're not talking about people's just like desk jobs here. We're talking about people's their lives as an independent contractor, and also your body is your work. So we need to talk to people in a different way. So A, our communication is completely different than any other agency. You can reach us, you can talk to us. I mean, we're not therapists, but we're definitely there to hear out everything our clients have to say. Mm. And B, the way that we pay our client is completely different. We're one of the only agencies in the world that pay our clients within 14 days of booking a job. Whether the client pays us or not, we're paying you, right? Like, we have the money in our account, you probably don't. So let's pay the models. I think, you know, models have waited, God, sometimes a year, 15 months to get paid. And I've been in that position before. So we wanted to disrupt that so that we can have a sense of trust with our models. And I think, you know, even though we're not the biggest agency in the world, the reason we've been able to get such amazing clients is because that trust was like from the first job you booked, bam, you knew that we were who we said we were.
Well, I hope you guys do become the biggest agency in the world, because that would be incredible. Anne-Therese, the mission of Role Models is to empower models to ignite positive influence by using their voices to make a difference. As a starting point here, I'd love to understand how you define the word empowerment in the context of the mission statement. And to give you context, I imagine in so many cases when young girls in particular want to become models, so much of their self-worth is attached to, you know, being pretty versus being purposeful or powerful. And, you know, that narrative is not exclusive to models. I think women all over the world struggle with that internal story or belief. So as a starting point, how do you go about flipping that narrative so that models you represent have the ability to really level up and to become empowered role models, in that they're really owning their power and purpose alongside how they look?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's kind of what Val just talked about too. Models, unfortunately, are some of the most, I would say, unhappy or insecure people in the world, because you're constantly measured against other people. You're always compared to other pretty women and men, good looking men. And it's just a very harmful industry to be in. And when I was modeling in New York, I felt anything but empowered. I was almost afraid of walking into my agency because I was afraid of what they would tell me. It was always this energy of like, they want you to feel like you're working for them and you should be kind of grateful to be there. Like, that's the sense I'm getting. So it's anything but empowerment. And you can walk into a casting and you feel like stripped of your rights and your power. And I have so many model friends who are with other agencies who have been in the industry for so long, and they keep telling me the same story. And I have to, like, you know, talk up their confidence, because I see this beautiful woman standing in front of me. And I know so many people are probably so jealous of her looks and her beauty, and she doesn't even see it herself because she's been stripped so much from her power. And you know, that is not a person who A, changes the world, and it's not a person who gets booked usually, because you need that self-esteem to go into a room and tell a client that, hey, I'm the person you want to work with. So I think it's a beautiful double-edged sword. It's like you empower someone to feel like, first of all, they're enough, they're beautiful, and so that's how they walk into a room at a casting and, you know, feel that way and believe in it too. And secondly, we really want models to feel like they have the rights to speak up. And I think that's the biggest difference that we might be doing compared to other agencies. Because as a model, typically you're asked to be almost like a clean slate. So don't have any, you know, strong opinions or values. What if you get booked for a brand and they don't like that you think a certain way? So that's kind of like how the industry has been. Like, agents almost tell someone, don't post anything important on social media. Post about you having a coffee downtown. Like, that's basically it. Like, be pretty. Be kind of like...
Be the canvas.
Exactly. Be the canvas. So what we're trying to say is that's changing, which it really is. And please speak up. Like, we want to empower our models to say, you have a platform, you have a beautiful face, you have a voice, and you can really inspire people. So use that. And that's what empowerment means for us.
Oh, I love that. I've actually got goosebumps listening to you talk. It's such an important message for models, but actually for women all over the world, and just in terms of empowering women, because, you know, there's so much to be said for owning your power, owning your purpose, and being able to step into that. And the idea that that in itself is beautiful, and that is what creates gravity around a person and creates energy around a person. You know, that really is at the heart of positive influence, in terms of influence being an inside job as much as positive influence being about the world. Val, in researching for this podcast, I noted that you have given yourself the title of Talent Scout and that you are also a booking agent with Role Model. Now, I imagine in the past, scouting for models would be focused purely on looks and physicality. However, scouting for a role model is an entirely different thing. So I'm curious to understand how you go about auditing your models so that you can ensure that they have integrity with regards to the causes that they represent. You know, what's your process for finding the right people?
Yeah, look, the first thing is no one's perfect. So I'm not looking for the girl who is like, you know, Black Lives Matter, Dump Trump, vegan, hashtag hug trees. Like that, we definitely have some girls who are like that. But I think what I first look for is a positive attitude, right? Like Anne Therese said, we need you to walk into the room. Like when a girl walks into the office and her energy is so bright that I just want to give her a hug, I'm like, wow, that girl's going to change the world. I don't know what she has to say yet, but you can tell there's just different energies. And then you also need to have a focus, a niche. And we did a whole class on this in the summer, a Zoom class, just about finding your niche and really finding which way you can positively impact the world. So, you know, whether you're a professional ballerina or a professional, you know, Olympian track runner, as we have on our board, in what ways are you using your platform to encourage people to not just be like you, but to live in their truth? So for me, sometimes I find girls, you know, when I scout, who are very young and they don't know what that is yet. And that's why we have, you know, our websites like Role Models EDU or even our blog or everything we share daily on our Instagram. It's like, if you don't know what your passion is yet, we've got 50 different, you know, subjects that we can educate you on. So we try to have people really find what that is and hone in on it, because A, you'll find clients that will love that. If you're a nature hero, you know, Timberland loves nature heroes. Athleta loves nature heroes. Or if you're passionate about, you know, dance or whatever, like Under Armour, Nike, there's client for every passion and every model. So we just try to see how we can help bring that out of you.
And as you were saying before, the values alignment is so important in the context of a digital world, because it's all out there, right? So it's good for, you know, for a brand and a model to have that shared purpose.
Yeah, I think it looks more authentic. You know, when you do the marketing, I always tell people to go back to that Pepsi Kendall Jenner ad. And like, that is what we don't want.
Exactly.
You know,
Yeah, true.
Values matter now. And so with everyone, I'm not telling you to go and live perfectly, but I am asking people to really show your truest self. And, you know, with that, there's going to be people who want to work with you. There's going to be, you know, the UN will want to partner with you. Just don't be afraid of sticking to what you're good at or what you love and empowering people with it.
And just to add to that too, because that actually kind of happened this year with Black Lives Matter, because when that exploded, there was a lot of energy going around on social media, and specifically Val, because she's black. She actually had to coach some of our models because they reached out and said, "I don't know how to address this. Like, I'm not typically someone who speaks up about racial, adjustment or justice on my social media, but I feel like I have to." So we want to be there too when these things happen. Like, we want to help them feel more empowered so they don't get hated on because they're not acting the way they should. Like, they're just human beings behind the image, right? So that's also part of what we're trying to do.
That's interesting. And can I ask you, Val, how did you navigate that? What advice did you give the models?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's interesting because also, like, I'm black, but I'm not African American. And so I even had to talk to some of my African American friends on how they felt about certain things because I'm like, it's just different. Like, I'm Latino, but I'm African. And so I just told people, you know, don't feel pressured, A, by your followers to say things a certain way. Really dig into your personal experience, you know, like talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors. And if you don't have anybody to talk to, well, join in on the conversation and be like, this is what I'm going to do differently. I'm going to march. I'm going to vote. I'm going to get people registered to vote. I'm going to volunteer at a school. Like, what can you physically do besides just posting that black square? What can you do besides just doing the hashtag? Like, what actions are you going to take? And a lot of people really started promoting black brands. Like, our influencers started to share black brands. And I was like, this is the reason it's important. We're not telling people to defund white brands. We're telling people that black brands don't get as much funding, so we need to promote them. And that was like our most popular post of the year, right? And we had like more shares and likes than ever, where it was like black businesses to support because people want to know what they can put their dollar towards, what they can cast their ballot towards. So I think just telling people what actions to take, here's a list of 100 things, choose one.
Totally. And I love the authenticity of that because it wasn't just posting something for the sake of posting something. You actually, created a response that was meaningful, that was appropriate to the work that you're doing in the world, and that was coming from that place of a deeper level of integrity where it was actually igniting real change. So that's an amazing response. And Therese, as you probably have worked out by now, because I've said it a few times, I am a fan of friendly stalking, and I couldn't help but coming across your website, The Climate Optimist, which I absolutely loved because I'm also an optimism enthusiast. I love this perspective on climate change because if we want to change the world, we must courageously believe that it's possible to do so. And with that in mind, as a changemaker, why is sharing an optimistic story about what's possible tomorrow so important to you?
Well, I think that we keep reliving the same story unless we create a new one. And it's really easy to focus on everything that's not right. And it's also what the media keeps feeding us. I don't think from a psychological standpoint that that works because humans don't know what to do with that. We tend to freak out, and then that's just a lot of energy that gets stuck. And we turn it inwards, where it grows to anxiety and depression and complacency, basically. So we don't do anything. And I think the only way we can get people to really act is where by telling them a different story and something to get excited about. And I also like optimism. People sometimes call me out for being an op like saying like, what does it mean to be an optimist? And it's kind of like just throwing a word out there, but I recently learned from another podcast that there is no such thing as a realist, by the way. Like, either you're realistically optimistic or you're realistically pessimistic. And you can actually choose, and you can actually practice being an optimist. And it's a mindset that you show up with. And we have this hashtag called Optimist in Action, which basically means you can be an optimist if you show up and act on it every single day, and you keep proving to yourself and to the world that things are possible. So yeah, that's why I'm so passionate about optimism. And it kind of goes very hand in hand with everything we're doing at Role Models too. It's about empowerment. It's about telling new stories. It's about coming together in community. Showing the world that there's other ways of doing things.
Mm. Yeah, as I was saying to you before, with our business Future Crunch, the essence of that is what we call intelligent optimism. And it's all about seeking out the optimistic facts. So it's not kind of rainbows and unicorns optimism. It's like all about saying, hey, you know, like if we actually look to science or medicine or amazing businesses like Role Models, there are all of these incredible things already happening, and this is fact. So let's be intelligent about how we apply optimism and choose to see those things alongside the not so great things.
Yeah, and it's actually proven how you present information is really important. There's an example in a book I was reading recently where if you were to say 70% of this town is not recycling, and you're trying to say that as a way to like wake up, like 70%, that's way too much. Like we need to do something about this. But the response to that is like, well, if 70% isn't recycling, then I don't have to either, right? You feel like you're part of the bigger picture, sort of. But if instead you say, you know what, 30% of this town is already recycling, then your response is, oh, that's awesome. I want to recycle too. So you're basically, you know, presenting the same information, but just how you present it in an optimistic way that people feel like they can actually be part of the change. That's when you see action happen.
Totally. And it's at the heart of positive influence.
Exactly.
Now, Val, I want to swing back to focusing on your talent just for a minute. I imagine as an ethical modelling agency, as you've already mentioned, diversity is definitely a focus, whether that be, you know, race or sexuality or body type. Given the modelling industry traditionally has had a focus on being a certain look, shape, age or size, how do you manage this from a talent perspective? And are you finding that clients are making more diverse decisions alongside the work that you two are doing?
Yeah, totally. So with our clients, I remember when we first started the agency, we didn't know how big we wanted it to be and how many clients we wanted to have. And now we have, almost 200 clients. And really why we have the amount of clients we have is because A, we're a direct booking agency, so it's a little bit easier to manage. It's not like we're managing people's schedules all over the world 100% of the time. But also we wanted to be able to have just a wide array of shapes, colors, ages, sizes. Like we did not want looks to be the factor, the number one factor for the reason we bought someone on or not. Because most agencies will be like, if you're under 5'8", and if you're over 125 pounds, don't even submit. But it's not like that for us. We basically have like an age requirement. And there is, you know, some height requirement stuff on the website. But now we're open to petite models. And petite models are working. So, you know, it was really us just choosing who we wanted and then finding clients who wanted to work with them. Or telling clients like, hey, I know this is what you typically ask for, but we have a curve model and we think she would be fantastic for your brand. So it's us advocating for our talent on every single level. It's like I advocate for myself, so I'm going to do it for the person who maybe hasn't had anybody stick up for them before. Mm. And, you know, when I was a model at Ford, I remember them telling me, like, well, black models don't work that much and blah, blah, blah. And if I went into it with that mindset as an agent, then my models would be working half as much. I don't think, oh, a plus model is not going to work that much. I'm just going to submit her every single time I see that there's a client who could possibly work with her. So, yeah, I guess we just don't have limitations, and that allows us to be more open with who we bring on.
Absolutely, and allows you to be diverse by design, which is a great thing. And Therese, I know that Role Models place a big emphasis on collaboration, and we've spoken a little bit about that with regards to partnering up your models with the right brands where there's an ethical alignment. As this show is all about purpose, and I think there's so much to learn from this business model and from creating shared value, I'd love to unpack how do you go about creating mutually beneficial and ethically aligned partnerships? Is there like a process that you use to enable the right fit?
I wish there were. In real life, we probably should. No, well, so in terms of partnerships, I think you're referring to brands and bookings and stuff. luckily the word's going around. So many times brands are actually reaching out to us.
Yeah, great.
And this might be a brand that's all about sustainable fashion or have a campaign which is about women empowerment, or they're looking for entrepreneurs or something and they've heard about us, or they find us by Googling us online, and they reach out and say, hey, we're doing this campaign, we want to highlight someone who is all about, you know, saving the earth or whatever it might be, and they ask, do you have someone? And since we are different, we do many times, and it's really cool to be able to present a model not just by the looks but actually by what they care about, and who they are as a person. And if you go to our website, you'll see that the first thing you see on a model's profile is actually not their photos, but their story. It's their written bio that they wrote themselves about who they are and what they're passionate about. So that's really cool. And many times, and more often now, actually, than it used to be, we see a lot of, you know, jobs being posted about like looking for models who are a certain way. Like, it's not just about, hey, we want someone who's ethnically ambiguous or white or whatever and this height. They actually say, we want someone who is a real entrepreneur working in this field, or we want someone who's all about advocating for climate change, like whatever it is. And it's becoming much more common. And so I feel like we were maybe a little bit ahead of the curve, but we're definitely right where we need to be right now, because those jobs are increasing a lot. So yeah, I think it's both ways. Sometimes we get reached out to directly, and sometimes we find the jobs and we just submit because we happen to have the right clients.
And Anne is also a master at our partnerships, not just with brands, but also with, you know, our partners like Remake and what we did with the UN this year. She is so good at marketing us to those types of, you know, what would you call them? I guess institutions or
nonprofit organizations. Yeah, nonprofit. We do that work too. Where like we do want to provide models opportunities to just collaborate with nonprofits are doing great stuff. So yeah, that's something we also do, which is not paid for, but it's just a fun opportunity and a way for us to give back.
Well, it's you girls must be vibing me, because my next question was actually all about the role models and Remake collaboration, because I found the video online and had a little bit of a look. So Val, I'm wondering if you can share with our listeners a little bit more about the work of Remake, and also just address the problem with, you know, with fast fashion and what we can all do to make a difference.
Yeah, so our partners at Remake, their whole goal is to educate people on what brands are doing, what brands aren't doing in terms of, you know, ethical production, sustainability in their textiles, the waste that brands are producing. And so when we met with Remake in San Francisco, I think 2 years ago, they wanted more ambassadors to be able to spread the message, because, I mean, Fashion Nova spreads like wildfire, and this message of ethical and sustainable fashion needs to spread like wildfire as well, you know, before our whole entire planet's on fire. So with Remake, I think what we really want to do is make this a normal part of the conversation in the fashion industry. It still seems like it's the, you know, that one page in Vogue that's like, and look, the sustainable brand. But there's so many ways that brands can change. And this year they did pay up, because what happened with COVID basically was brands canceled billions of dollars worth of orders. And as you know, I mean, these garment workers in Sri Lanka are making like $70 a month. They're living below the poverty line. And then in addition, now there's a pandemic, and now brands are like, oh, we're just not going to pay them at all. People aren't shopping because our stores are closed, so we're just not going to pay you. And, you know, Remake wanted us to spread the message that that's not okay, and that main media needs to be talking about this. Mm-hmm. We can't be some slow fashion movement that's on, you know, just some very small Instagrams. This is knowledge that affects everyone. I mean, once you find out about it, it's hard to want to participate in that cycle anymore. So we try to partner with people like Remake, really, because like Anne said, you know, we're not paid by them, although opportunities come from being involved with nonprofits like them. But just if we can use our millions of followers that our models collectively have for anything, it should be to save another person's life. And with Remake, that really is what they're doing. The higher standards for these workers, I mean, it's going to make a change for their family financially, but also it can save a life.
And can I ask, how can we make some more sustainable choices with regards to fashion?
We have a great video, Antares. Do you want to talk about the video that we made with Remake?
That's the one I saw. That's the one I saw.
Yeah, so the video you guys are talking about is called, I think, 10 Ways to Sustainably Dress or something. Something about 10 different ways to be sustainable in your with your closet or how you dress. And it lists very simple ways that you can be sustainable. I think the misconception of sustainability is that you have to buy these super expensive clothes and suddenly you become this like eco fashionista, whatever, and you feel like, I can't do that because I don't have the money or whatever it is, or the means, or I can't find these clothes. But there are so many different ways. You can do clothing swaps, which we've done with Remake a few times. It's really fun. It's has to be virtual now, obviously, because of COVID. But once the world opens back up again, you can do clothing swap parties. You can thrift as much as you possibly can. Buying things that already exist is a huge way to contribute to a slower fashion movement. And like wear the same thing. Like outfit repeating is really cool. Like you don't have to have a new outfit every single time you go somewhere. And there are different ways too. It's like if something breaks, mend your clothes. Like what happened to us taking care of our stuff? And of course, if you do buy something, do some research and educate yourself. Like, is this clothing made ethically? Were the garment makers or workers really paid what they should be paid? And what materials have been used and what processes? And we have to realize like we have a huge power in how we shop and how we spend our money and how we show up in the world. And we can actually start creating new trends only by choosing how we dress every single day. So yeah, I think fashion is cool because there's so much we can do as consumers, and it doesn't have to be hard and doesn't have to be expensive.
So I have a question for both of you, and I'll warn you, it is a big one. Given the context of 2020, the rise of purpose in business, or what some people are calling the purpose economy, and the continued emergence of new technologies like artificial intelligence or even virtual reality, what is your view on the future of modelling? How do you think the industry will evolve?
We actually did... We're working with one AI company, and it's really interesting because they're not using AI models. They're just making it easier and smarter and faster to find models, you know, using biometrics to search for people. But there's also companies who are doing AI. And I think with that, you lose some of the marketing value that comes with having a real person, whether that's an influencer or, you know, a recognizable commercial face. So I think when we start doing those things like AI, it just starts to make people homogenous, because I've even seen the AI that's like, it creates the most, you know, perfect, diverse groups of people. And it's like, yeah, everyone has the same hairline though and the same nose. So we have to stay away from that, because I think when you find people who are very original, like let's say one of our models, Glenn, he's like completely freckled faced, or someone with a gap tooth smile. We need to keep that going. I think trying to cut more and more people out of the equation to save money. I mean, AI is like really expensive too. I'm like, at what point is it going to be saving money? Because I just don't see the purpose in it yet.
Yeah, I would say it's hard to know. Obviously, I understand that tech is taking over more and more, and it's going to keep infusing our lives. I think with modeling, and I think maybe that's how we have positioned ourselves in a smart way, I think the modeling career or the modeling profession is going to pivot as well. It's not going to be where you just are this hanger that walks down the catwalk, or you show up and do like a 12 to 14 hour shoot doing e-commerce. Like, I think modeling is going to become much more about like the person behind the face. And so, you know, we're seeing a huge rise in influencer work, obviously, this year too, where like their models, they can work from home, they can take their own photos, and they can present them in a way that's authentic to them. But that adds brand value, right? Like if you're a brand, you're trying to really create a brand image, working with a AI model is not going to help that. It's just going to make it look very boring. But if you work with an actual person, like that's how you add light and quality and, you know, personality to a brand. So I think it's going to pivot. I think models are going to do the profession very differently. And I think also what we are trying to do is like have models become spokespeople, you know, like maybe there is more room for like public speaking or teaching or going to schools and talking about things. So I don't know. It's interesting to see, obviously, and it's a big question. And I don't doubt that tech is going to come in more and more. But like Val said, there has to be, you know, a fine line too, between how much we can actually,
do that without losing the authenticity of a model.
Totally. And you know, I think you've nailed it in realizing the competitive advantage of what you're doing, because regardless of emerging technologies, technology is counterintuitively placing the focus on what it means to be human across all aspects of business and especially modeling. So I think you guys have really hit the sweet spot in that regard. Val, I know that you're a mum, and this is a question I ask a lot of parents. Now, you and Anne-Therese obviously found your purpose in role models. So with that in mind, what advice would you give your daughter about discovering her life purpose?
God, that's such a big question. You know what? I want her to see that you do not have to be afraid to go out there and try to do something, even if you don't see that it exists. Because with Anne-Therese and I, there was no one who had ever done what we've created. You know what I mean? There's people who started agencies and it had like a little bit more of a mission and a purpose, but we went really there with every single aspect of our agency. Like I said, the way we present our models, the way we interact with clients, the way we pay people. And so just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not there for a reason. I mean, you can start it. And if you fail, like, whatever, you failed. But I think the reason why so many agencies are closing and merging and ran out of money in June is because they didn't think outside the box. They just wanted to do it the way everybody else had done it before. So I think that's what I'm trying to encourage our clients to do as well. I feel like such a mama bear sometimes to our models, like the way they text me and call me. And I love it. I love being the mama bear. But yeah, it doesn't matter if nobody else is doing it. If it's positive and it's going to have a positive change, just go for it.
Yeah, that's amazing advice, because we certainly need young people to dream and be courageous in how they pioneer new ways of being in the world. I've come to the last segment of the podcast, and it's a segment that I have called Shots of Purpose. And basically, this is a little, I guess, fireside chat where we will quickly move five questions designed to explore purpose in the present moment. So I'm going to fire each question in, and if you each want to respond with one word, one sentence, and keep it relatively quick, we can move through. You guys ready to go?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Name one emotion that feels like purpose.
Joy.
It's so hard.
I would say joy, like genuine joy. I love what I do. And when I wake up every single morning, I want to get to my computer, and it makes me joyful. It's cutting checks also gives me lots of joy.
Amazing. How about you, Anne-Therese?
I would say flow.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so what recently moved you so much that you either shed a tear or welled with emotion?
It was a comment back from a model who sent an email saying how much they love being part of our agency.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, I think I received a similar email like last month where a model just basically said, in my 12 years of being in this industry, you know, this is my first job I booked with you guys. I haven't been with you very long, but everything feels so different. And this felt like the best experience I've ever had all around on every level. And I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you. He's like, thank you for this. I'm like, no, thank you. This is going to like have me dancing in my chair all week.
There's your joy in an email. Name a book or a podcast that rewired your thinking and tell me why.
Gosh, we read so many books together too.
Well, I'm the climate nerd. I read Climate, A New Story this summer by Charles Eisenstein, and I see the world so differently now. And I feel like I see myself and my purpose on this planet very differently. So that really rewired me.
Love it. How about you, Val?
The first entrepreneurship book that I read was Girl Boss. And I feel like so many people, you know, jumped on the Girl Boss train, but it really encouraged me to just jump both feet in and start my own thing. And I'm so inspired by Sophia Amoruso to this day. So yeah, Girl Boss. I think that was my first book club too that I did with my friends. So that was a very adult situation.
Oh, amazing. Well, that's a selfish question on my behalf because I get to collate a really amazing book list from all of these suggestions. Mm-hmm. If you could see through the eyes of any animal, which one would you pick and why?
A wolf. I just love wolves.
I love that.
I'm like on the feline spectrum, a jaguar for sure. I've been obsessed with jaguars and just, you know, in the Amazon and in Central America, there was so much change going on in the forest. Could you imagine being that jaguar and seeing all of it?
Yeah, wow, that would give you a really different perspective, which is one of the reasons I asked that question.
Well, I see you as a jaguar now. It's so evident to me. That's so cool.
We've got your spirit animals in play. So the final one, over the course of this podcast, what has been left unsaid that should 100% be shared?
Aval is the best business partner you could ever ask for.
Aww.
And I honestly, I texted her that last week because it just hit me again. I'm like, I can't believe I found this person. We didn't know each other when we started the business. We had only talked over the phone a few times. We never met in person. But there was a strong intuition from both of us that we had to do this. And it's like I found myself a sister. And it's just, I love how she does business. She's no bullshit. She also has such a huge heart. And yeah, I love her. And I'm so grateful for her.
Oh, I love that. Goosebumps again. That's so nice.
Thank you. I was going to say, get someone who's good at all the things that you're not good at. Like Aunt Therese, she's seriously a 100% work wife. She picks up the slack wherever I can't do it. And she's just so, like, I can't really explain. She just thinks so outside the box. I'm just like, wow, I cannot believe she just put this together. Like, shocking. I didn't even have any part in that, basically. I just signed on the dotted line. So, yeah, if you're picking a business partner, get someone who, and we're so opposite, like, even when you see us, it's hilarious. But I think that's why it works.
Well, I want to go into business with both of you right now. So I'm feeling the love. So where can we find you guys online? I'm sure I've got so many listeners out there who want to learn more about both of you as individuals and the business.
Well, so our business accounts is RoleModelsMGMT. .com is our website, and Instagram is RoleModelsMGMT. Same thing with Twitter and everywhere. Yeah, that's where you find us. My Instagram is Anne Therese Gennari. I know that's a little hard, but also The Climate Optimist if you want to check that out.
Definitely check that out. How about you, Val?
And mine is Malibu Mama. I'm just a West Coast beach bum. So Malibu Mama __. And then, of course, RoleModelsMGMT on everything else.
Amazing. Look, it has been such a joy to have both of you on the Decoding Purpose podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. If you have enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review. That would be greatly appreciated. And we'd also love you to join the Purpose Movement at Instagram by following us at Decoding Purpose Podcast. Also, a big shout out to our sponsors at Supernova Sound.